Ramuna Tira Vanachari Ramuna Tira Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Prabhupada, Jaya, Prabhupada, Jaya, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya, Prabhupada. Prem se goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shasta Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Gijay Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gova Govira Shama Kunda Radha Kuddi Gidi Gavardhan Gijay Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadap Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Gijay Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Gijay Go Premanandi, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies. All glory to Sri Guru and Sri Guru, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddha Deh Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pasacha Desha Charane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhavam, Canto 10, Chapter 85, Verse 47. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Asan Mariche Satputra Unayam Pratamen Tare Devakam Jaha Surviksha Sutam Yabetum Ujatam.
Bye.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha. The Supreme Lord said, Asan, there were Mariche, of Marichi, Sat, six Putra, sons, Urnayam, born of Urna, Pratame, in the first, Antare, rule of Manu, Deva, demigods, come at Lord Brahma, Jahasu, they laughed, Viksha, seeing Sutam with his daughter, Yavitam, to copulate, Ujitam, prepared. Translation of the Supreme Lord said, during the age of the first Manu, the sage Marichi had six sons by his wife Urna. They were all exalted demigods, but once they laughed at Lord Brahma when they saw him preparing to have sex with his own daughter. Because of that improper act, they immediately entered a demoniac form of life, and thus they took birth as the sons of Hiranyakasipu. The goddess Yogamaya then took them away from Hiranyakasipu, and they were born again from Devaki's womb. And after this, O king, Kamsa murdered them. Devaki still laments for them, thinking of them as her sons. These same sons of Marichi are now living here with you. Purport, Acharya Sridhar Swami and Vishnu Chakravarti explained that after taking Marichi's six sons from Hiranyakasipu, Lord Krishna's Yogamaya first made them pass through one more life as children of another great demon, Kalanemi, and then she finally transferred them to the womb of Devaki. We wish to take them from this place to dispel their mother's sorrow, then released from their curse and free from all suffering, they will return to their home in heaven. Purport as pointed out by Srila Prabhupada in his purports of chapter 2, text 5 and 8 of this canto, Marichi's sons were condemned for their offense against Lord Brahma, and in addition, Hiranyakasipu once cursed them to be killed by their own father in a future life. This curse was fulfilled by Vasudeva's letting Kamsa murder them one by one. By my grace, these six, Smara, Udgita, Parishvanga, Patanga, Kshudra, Brit, and Grini, will return to the abode of pure saints. Purport, these are the names the six children first had when they were the sons of Marichi. The oldest Smara was called Kirtiman when born again to Vasudeva, as recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirti Muntam Pratama Jam, Kams Ayan Ukadundabi, Arpayam Asa Kritrena, Sonatat Ati Vivala. Vasudeva was very much disturbed by the fear of becoming a liar by breaking his promise. Thus, with great pain, he delivered his firstborn son named Kirtiman into the hands of Kamsa. Sukadeva Goswami continued, after saying this, Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, having been duly worshipped by Bali Maharaj, took the six sons and returned to Dwarka, where they presented them to their mother. When she saw her lost children, goddess Devaki felt such affection for them that milk flowed from her breast. She embraced them and took them on her lap, smelling their heads again and again. Lovingly, she let her sons drink from her breast, which became wet with milk just by their touch. She was entranced by the same illusory energy of Lord Vishnu that initiates the creation of the universe. Purport, in the opinion of Srila Jiva Goswami, the word Srishti can here also refer to the creative process by which Lord Vishnu's Yoga Maya arranges the settings and situations of his pastimes. There is indeed no question of Mother Devaki being affected by the material aspect of Maya. By drinking her nectarian milk, the remnants of what Krishna himself had previously drunk, the six sons touched the transcendental body of the Lord, Narayana, and this contact awakened them to their original identities. They bowed down to Govinda, Devaki, their father, and Balaram, and then, as everyone looked on, they left for the abode of the demigods. Lord Krishna remained as an infant with Devaki and Vasudeva for only a very short time. First, the Lord appeared before them in his form, Vishnu form, and after hearing their prayers, he changed himself into an apparently ordinary infant for their pleasure. But to save Krishna from suffering his brother's fate, Vasudeva at once removed him from Kamsa's prison. Just before Vasudeva took him away, Mother Devaki suckled Krishna once so that he would not feel thirsty during the long trip to Nanda Vraja. Thus we learn from the commentary of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Seeing her sons return from death and then depart again, saintly Devaki was struck with wonder. O King, she concluded that this was simply an illusion created by Krishna. Sri Krishna, the Supreme Soul, the Lord of unlimited valor, performed continuous pastimes just as amazing as this one, O descendant of Bharata. Suta Goswami said, this pastime enacted by Lord Murari, whose fame is eternal, totally destroys the sins of the universe and serves as a transcendental ornament for his devotees' ears. Anyone who carefully hears or narrates this pastime, as recounted by the Venerable Son of Vyasa, will be able to fix his mind in meditation on the Supreme Lord and attain to the all-auspicious kingdom of God. According to Sridhar Swami, hearing the wonderful events of Lord Krishna's life destroys sins in a manner that is perfect because it is easy. Anyone can easily participate in this hearing, and those who become devoted to Krishna always enjoy wearing on their ears the ornament of topics concerning him. Not only those who were present at the time of their occurrence, but also Sukadev Goswami, Suta Goswami, all who have heard since, and everyone in the universe who will hear in the future, all are blessed by the continuous recital of Lord Krishna's transcendental glories. Thus end the prayer reports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in the 10th canto, 85th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Vasudeva and Retrieves Devaki's Sons. So, fulfilling the request of Devaki, then Krishna and Balaram went to Sutala Loka. They talked to Bali Maharaj, and he handed over these sons who had previously been killed by Kamsa. But here we see that the story was a little more complicated, because they were actually the sons of Marichi, and they committed offense against Lord Brahma. Then they became Hiranyakasipu's sons. Then they became Kalinemi's sons. And then they were cursed that their father would kill them. So Kalinemi became Kamsa. And then he killed his own sons, in one sense. Though he didn't think they were his sons, but they were his sons previously. In this way, the curse was fulfilled that he killed those sons who were now Devaki's sons. Of course, then they went to Sutala Loka, and then Krishna took them from there, and then they went back to Svarga Loka, wherever Marichi was abiding again. So it appears that they were the same persons all along. Somehow they had the same identity, at least when they recovered from Sutala Loka. Though this is not the normal case. If a person dies, then he gets another material body somewhere, or he remains in a hellish condition. But we see that actually they remain for some time in Sutala Loka. So we can attribute this to being an arrangement of Krishna himself. And therefore this pastime could be performed where he recovered those sons. So they returned to their original bodies. When they were the sons of Devaki, they were small babies, just born babies. But when she got them back, then they were, appears they were the sons of Marichi, grown up children at that time. So they had grown up since they had left being killed by Kamsa. So this is not the normal case, of course. So this is an exceptional case arranged by the Supreme Lord himself. Nevertheless, it shows that by the Lord's arrangement, anything can happen.
and that even a dead person can come back to life somehow or other, even though it is many, many years later, the person can come back and as if nothing had happened. So this is all by the extraordinary arrangement of the Supreme Lord, that everything like this could happen. So he had to make arrangements on Sutala Loka, etc., for them to stay and grow up, etc., but and then return in that body too, when he came back to return the sons to Devaki. So a skillful this is a skillful arrangement of the Supreme Lord, and ultimately they returned to their positions as devatas. Doesn't mention here they got liberation or they went to Vaikuntha or anything. They just returned to their original positions, though they got the association of Krishna, obviously here by the getting rescued by him. And they also drank the milk of Devaki, which was also previously touched by Krishna, so it's Krishna's prasad. So obviously they got devotional benefit from this. So the story was invoked because Devaki had some seemingly material attachment to seeing her sons and wanting them revived, because she heard the story of how Krishna got the son of her Sandapani Muni and returned him from Yamaraj. So she felt, why can't my sons come back also? So this happened, but then immediately they're gone again. So she didn't get any real benefit from this in one sense, because as soon as she saw them and then she felt nice, and then suddenly they all disappeared and went back to Svargaloka. So a temporary type of solution to her problem. But again, even that sentiment itself was arrangement of the Supreme Lord, because technically those who are Siddha devotees, associates of the Lord, they don't want any other relationship except with Krishna. So she has Krishna as her son. So why would she long for having her other children back when she has Krishna as her son? Nevertheless, this occurred by the arrangement of Yoga Maya. So we can't blame her for developing this desire. So the whole purpose is to show the extraordinary power of Krishna to do the most remarkable things, in this case to bring back the sons. And of course this resolved the whole story that began at the very beginning when Marichi's sons laughed at Lord Brahma and they got cursed. So now the whole thing, which would lasted for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, that whole curse and the effects of it, that was finally resolved by the arrangement of Krishna. So resolved through the request of Devaki to bring her sons back. So then in this way, not only Devaki got some benefit by seeing her sons, but also the sons themselves got benefit because they returned to their positions as Marichi's sons again. So the one action fulfilled different purposes, one for Devaki and another for the sons of Marichi. So they got back their original positions. And of course, in addition to this, we see that Devaki herself was astonished by this whole pastime. And she understood this is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord, because she didn't grieve after the sons left and went to Svargaloka again. She understood, oh, this is Krishna's arrangement somehow or other. So her whole idea of getting her sons, etc., was also Krishna's arrangement. So she was impressed by the arrangement that Krishna had made in this case. But what it does show is the extraordinary arrangements, skill in making arrangements that the Supreme Lord does without any effort at all, since he is all-knowing in past, present, future. Therefore, he can make all sorts of arrangements. So, in this way, we understand the great power of Krishna. Supreme Lord has powers that no one else has, so he can do what is impossible for others. Yogis have extraordinary power, devatas have extraordinary power, Brahma has extraordinary power, even Shiva has extraordinary power, but and of course Vishnu has very extraordinary power. So the Supreme Lord has, as distinct from Jivas, much greater power, so he can do very remarkable things. But of all the forms of the Lord, then Krishna is the most remarkable of all. So he does the most remarkable things. So therefore we have the 10th canto of Bhagavatam dedicated to describing some of the pastimes of Krishna throughout his life. And in this way we can begin to appreciate the extraordinary nature of Krishna as compared to Jivas or even other forms of the Supreme Lord. And by that then we can understand that Krishna is not only sweet, but he's also the most powerful as well. He displays the most powers. That appreciation of Krishna is important for the devotee. So therefore the whole section, the chapter ends with this glorification of hearing the pastimes of Krishna, in particular this pastime, but all pastimes. So if you hear or narrate this pastime, then you will be able to fix your mind on Krishna and attain the spiritual world. Sometimes these stories are glorified and they offer material results. By hearing the story of Govardhan, you get free of snake bites or something like this. So that's a material result. But here we have a direct spiritual result, that by hearing this pastime, you can fix your mind on the Lord and you can go to the spiritual world and serve the Lord eternally. So here we get a spiritual benediction from the pastime. So sometimes material results are glorified, but that doesn't mean that that's the only result the pastime gives. By hearing that pastime, it only gives that one result, but that is mentioned simply to encourage people who are on a lower level to partake of bhakti, even if it is for material reasons. So if people have hear the stories for material reasons, even that is beneficial for them. But at the same time, we understand that the higher results are also there. So this also takes place in other places, and like in the nectar of devotion, where various angas of bhakti are described and praised by quoting from scriptures. And then some of the results of doing that particular anga of bhakti, like hearing or chanting or deity worship or something, that gives some material results. So there it is mentioned that these results are there, but they're not the ultimate result that the devotee wants. So we have a greater, higher understanding from performance of uttama bhakti or pure bhakti. So even though these different rewards are given, material rewards are given for hearing the pastimes of the Lord, we shouldn't think that that's some limitation on the hearing process. Rather, it's there only to encourage people of lower nature. So the devotee understands the real goal is simply what is stated here, to concentrate the mind fully on the Supreme Lord and try to please him at all times. So that is the goal of the devotee in hearing these pastimes.
That in a pastime like Govardhan, the benediction highlighted is of snake bite, and a pastime like this, the highlight, it's highlighted that one goes to the spiritual world and meditates on the Lord. I mean, that's a far more intimate pastime, Vraj Leela, and
As I said, we get all varieties of results mentioned in order to cater to different types of people. That's all. So as I said, even in nectar devotion, we're talking about pure bhakti, and then he quotes the angas, but then the result given is a material result or whatever like that. So then he mentions there that actually these are, you know, for less qualified people. So the different Puranas also do the same thing, not just Bhagavatam. They often give these results, but the person who has pure devotion understands that these are only for less qualified people, such results, and he understands the higher result as well. So we don't have to be too disturbed by seeing the material results given for different pastimes. I suppose in the case of Govardhan, because Govardhan's a hill and it's full of bushes, and there's snakes in the snakes in the bushes, perhaps. So people are wandering in the forest or something, you know, or in the hills or whatever, then they may be afraid of snake bites, so then they can get rid of the fear of snake bites by hearing this story.
Maharaj, here we see that Devaki has such a spontaneous affection for her children. But earlier we see, I'm just trying to understand the comparison, Maharaj. When Mother Devaki saw Krishna Balaram and meeting with Yashoda at Kurukshetra, so she was astonished by the affection showed by Mother Yashoda.
Yeah.
And here she is attracted so much to her previous sons. So is it that can we compare and say Mother Yashoda's attraction, because she was single pointedly attracted to Krishna Balaram. So is her attraction to Krishna is much greater than this? And
Definitely it is, and that's why when she saw Yashoda and Nanda interact with Krishna at Kurukshetra, she was astonished by their great love. Of course, also because she was thinking, well, Krishna's my son, I gave birth to him, what are they doing there, having more affection, how's that possible? So it was double surprise. Not only they had more affection, but more affection, and they weren't even her, their children, they were her children, her child, so her children. So doubly surprised by that. And there's no question of Nanda and Yashoda ever having attraction for anything else. So definitely their prema and their vatsalya is of a much higher intense nature than Devaki's. But at the same time, we shouldn't think that Devaki is therefore materially contaminated or anything like that, because she's also a Nityasiddha. But definitely she's in a lesser category than the people of Vrindavan. The people of Dwarka have less attraction, or less, what I said, their attraction is diluted somewhat. So that goes for Devaki as well. So no one can compare to the people of Vrindavan.
Maharaj, also here we see that the sons, actually they have darshan of the Lord, they offer obeisances, had Mahaprasad, and they left for their abodes. I mean, he's the most attractive person in the universe. And we see a similar case in case of the Nalakuvera and Manigriva. They also were delivered from the curse. They offered, did parikrama, offered prayers, and then they also left. So can we say these devotees, they recognize Krishna as Supreme Lord, but they're in shantras, or so there's not so much attraction for them not to go away.
Well, all we can say is not explained. All we can say is they were less qualified. So therefore, even though they met Krishna, the result was not the same of, let's say, a highly qualified devotee who exhibits a very great prema. So, of course, Krishna also can do the extraordinary, like put Putana in the spiritual world or whatever. But that's an extraordinary case. So other cases like this case, or... what is it, the snake demon that tried to swallow Nanda Maharaj or whatever. He was about a Gandharva or something like that, so he went back to as a Gandharva again like this. So they don't always get Lord, he puts them in that position, they return to their previous position, and from there they, of course, they can progress by sadhana bhakti or whatever. So the Lord makes arrangements for everybody according to their particular qualification and need. It's up to the Supreme Lord how he wants to deal with these people. He could, of course, take them to the spiritual world, but he doesn't in these particular cases. Other cases he does, but generally we see the according to the qualification of the person, then they get results.
So Maharaj, in this case, can we say that their material desires were actually stronger than compared to their attraction for the Lord? That's why they chose to go there.
Well, ultimately qualification means they still had more material desires, so therefore Krishna put them back in their positions, and from there they can advance according to their devotion.
Without the jiva surrender to the Lord is not going to help. So how far that aspect of surrender has been done by these devotees?
Well, obviously they recognize the Lord, so in that sense there was some surrender, but it's not as great as other persons, so therefore we have to simply trust in the Lord's arrangement that was the best thing for them to return to those particular positions rather than suddenly promote them to a higher position by mercy or whatever.
I'm thinking different way, like see this six sons of mercy, maybe although they are a caste and they have some particular service in their own planet, like he mentioned that some great saint or heaven, maybe one Krishna delivered them from the Sudra Loka and they again reinstated in their own service.
Brahma, again, Brahma went back to Brahma Loka again. He didn't go beyond that.
Brahma he also did some offense towards Krishna, but Krishna didn't give him liberation. He said, okay, you go to back your own planets and do your service. So here also same case might happen, man.
There were devatas and they returned to their position for some time. We don't know what happens after that, but presumably because of the association with Krishna, then they can advance.
Yeah. Another question is, you're saying that even the devotees, regarding this, although Lord give material opulence, wealth to the devotees, although the devotee doesn't want it. And also, this material opulence or wealth is like a byproduct of devotion. But how can I understand that, if someone follow the devotional service, he get automatically this material opulence and wealth, but still Lord doesn't give. Lord doesn't give, although it's a byproduct of devotional service.
Well, it's a byproduct, but in many cases, one, the devotees don't want it, so the Lord doesn't give it. Secondly, if they're doing sadhana, then it may not be favorable for them because they could get materially attached, so the Lord may not give it in that case also. So according to the particular individual, they may or may not get. And even if they don't want it, then the Lord may give it to them, as with the case of Dhruva. He wanted, then he didn't want, but then the Lord gave him anyway, and he said, you have to accept it. So it's an individual case of the Lord's discretion and also the desire of the devotee.
In the case of Sudama, you see, you also can see this also material opulence. Although Sudama doesn't know that, how it came, everything. But he accepted it.
Because of his wife.
Yeah.
His wife wanted it. So therefore he accepted it. He didn't really care for it, but his wife was saying, oh, we got to have some better situation for our children, etc.
My question is that we don't see devotees are getting rich. We see that when Krishna said
so many devotees are rich. The Yudhisthira was the king of the whole world, and all these the Manus are head of the whole world also. They rule for 71 yuga cycles.
Explain this verse?
That's in sadhana. If the wealth is seen to be an obstacle for their advancement, then the Lord takes everything away. And in case it isn't, then it's for glorification of the Lord, then he may give more. So that was all because Yudhisthira's only desire was to glorify Krishna by everything he had. So the more he got, the more he glorified Krishna. So then it was useful for him. That the fame of Yudhisthira is intimately attached to Krishna's fame. So the position of Yudhisthira is a glorification of Krishna himself. And that's how Yudhisthira always feels. So he's never, it's not an impediment for him, whatever wealth he has.
Brahma himself is an Atma, Jiva. So that being the case, he was forgiven by the Lord and he was allowed to go back. There is only one Brahma. There are so many innumerable Brahmas like that, and so many pralayas, so many yugas take place. But it's mind boggling for us to understand which Brahma, what time it happened, all these things.
Which Brahma? What?
Brahma was not given liberation. He was for his offense towards the Lord, and he was just allowed to go back to his kingdom and rule. So like that, there are innumerable Brahmas. Which Brahma was given this opportunity and how it happened? And it's really mind-boggling to understand all this.
What opportunity?
To go back and rule without getting a liberation. All the Brahmas get liberation?
They usually at the end of their lifespan. After 100 years of Brahma, and they pass out of their body, then they go to the spiritual world. Not necessarily to Krishna, they may go to Vaikuntha or somewhere else. Because they're pure devotees at that stage.
Yeah.